Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
You're tapping your feet. I know you are. Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley this Monday morning. A little bit froggy for some reason, but I'm hanging in there. The good news is, got a couple of folks in now who are going to do the bulk of the talking for me for the next little bit. In the studio this morning, Joy Novota with Stars on Stage alongside Gary Raffinelli of Abracadabra. Guys, thanks for coming in this morning.
Hey, we're glad to be here.
Yeah,
we are glad to be here.
Yeah, Joy, I mean, well, I guess we'll start off with you because you got all the nuts and the bolts information here that folks need to know. You're getting ready to kick off season 9 of Stars on Stage. How amazing is it to think of that? I mean, season 9, did you, when you started this thing, did you think you'd be
no
on the verge of a decade of doing this?
When we started, we thought if we can hang on and do this for 3 years, we'll feel really successful. Then we got through 3 years and we were planning 4, and then all of a sudden it was 5. And then we thought, well, 5 years is a really good time. Maybe that's where we should end. Well, then there's other groups we just had to bring. So then we went to 6 and now we're at 9. And what better band to bring in but Abracadabra? I've been telling Gary I've been stalking him for 9 years.
It's true. It's true.
You were here 9 years ago, and I've been after him all the time. You've got to come back.
So has the court order now expired? Is that why you're able to now come back?
That's right.
Is that the deal? Like,
that's right.
We've extended that time. Now you can come back.
Now you can come. Right. Now it's for safe.
It's over 7 years. We're fine.
Okay. I wanted to make sure that we were legal in here. Yeah, I mean, you really couldn't have come up with a better season opener here, Joy. You got to be really, really excited.
We are. It's just been absolutely over the top. And this all starts on Thursday night at 7:30 at the Civic Center Ballroom. And here we go, gang. It's a biggie.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready.
Yeah, you're ready to go, Gary?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, it sounds like, well, I mean, fortunately for you guys, but unfortunately for those listening, tickets are basically gone, right?
We think so. We have a waiting list right now where I'm waiting to hear on a few people, but pretty much it looks like that, yes.
Okay. So you know what? If you want to call, put your name on that list and cross your fingers, you can go ahead and do that. But otherwise, this thing went quickly. It's going to be on Thursday night at the Civic Center. They move tables, they move seats. They're squeezing every
angle that we can.
Yeah. If we run out of room, maybe right after the show, we'll meet everybody at Burger King.
Okay.
And we'll do a couple of songs there.
Okay. Yeah, I could talk with the fire marshal and see if we could get you a little bit of an extension in there to get some more people in. But Gary, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I'm doing okay. It was actually an enjoyable flight to land in here yesterday. Coming over the mountains and from Seattle, it was great.
Yeah, no, you're from California. You're a California guy, right?
Originally? Was born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area, yes. But I've lived in Reno for the last 30, 40 years.
Okay. So you're not a Californian anymore.
No, pretty much.
Yeah, you got out of there, and we're good with that. So it sounds like you were into music from really a pretty early age.
Yeah, I joined my first band when I was 10, and I started my first band when I was 12. And started working the Las Vegas, Reno, Tahoe, Atlantic City circuit when I was 22, 21, yeah, somewhere around there. I've been working ever since.
Wow. So if rewind a little bit, I mean, starting music that early, why? Right? Like, what is it? I mean, lots of kids tinker around with music, but it seemed more special to you than that.
I've been asked that question before. It's a hard one to answer. There is a female factor. You know, you get more girlfriends if you're in a rock and roll band. Unfortunately for me, I started on the accordion, so that wasn't the babe magnet I was hoping it would be.
Yeah, you went out that a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's like being a tuba player.
Who told you that the polka band brings in like?
Now accordions are big again with the I can't even think of the name of the music, but at the time, yeah. And then I when I was 14, I got a portable organ. That was the hot thing to have.
Sure.
So
and had a little Casio.
Actually, it was called a Farfisa. There were two. There was Vox or a Farfisa. I got the Farfisa. And then went to Hammond B3 when I was 16, 17. Because that's what the big boys were using.
Well, sure. And at some point, you were performing with your brother, right, when you were young?
Oh, I joined my brother's band in the Bay Area, garage band, called the Vandells. If you look on eBay, you can buy our 45.
Oh, wow.
One was available for like $300. And I said, man, I've got 10 of them. I'll sell them for $300 each.
We'll talk after the show. Yeah. Deal. We'll come up with something.
Somebody posted it. You can listen to them for free on YouTube. But we had the Vandells all through high school. And as soon as I graduated from high school, I got an offer to work Reno and Lake Tahoe at Harris. I was 18 years old, making more money than my father and loving it. So
very cool. Gary Raffinelli is our guest today. Joy Navoda also in the studio with us today, and Gary with Abracadabra. They're coming here to town.
Yeah, make sure you say Abracadabra.
Abracadabra.
Not Abra. That's the magic show.
It's tough to say. It's tough to spell, too. Very difficult to spell. They're coming here on Thursday. It's going to be a fantastic show, and you sort of just pass over this experience with your brother, but it sounds like that was really sort of your first taste of
big-time
music, right? I mean, you're recording. You were touring, right?
We were touring. Our last, just before the group broke up, when I was a senior in high school, we did a tour of Hawaii, Midway, Guam, Philippines, Taiwan, and Japan. I got better grades when I was out of school than when I was actually in school. So,
how does that happen? That a garage band ends up touring, right? Like, yeah. I mean, everybody's got a garage band.
Well, we were a good one. We were a really good one. So,
what was that like? I mean, as a kid, sort of getting a taste of this is what musician life is like.
We were playing mostly military clubs over there because there was a war going on at the time, mm-hmm. and playing military clubs. But we would play for anywhere from 500 to 2,000 people a night, and their, 1,000 servicemen and their dates or whatever. And it was incredible.
What kind of music were you playing? I admittedly have never heard the music from the Vandells.
we had a few of our own songs, but we were doing the songs of the time, like Paul Revere and the Raiders, like Steppenwolf, like mm-hmm. Whatever was popular at that particular time.
Okay. And so if you weren't already kind of sold on music career, my guess is that probably did it for you, right?
I never thought of doing anything else. It was always, trying to make money by playing music, and I've been able to do it my entire life, which I'm really, really lucky.
Yeah, well, and moved on from that, and you ended up sort of on your own for a little bit, right?
Well, I had my own show with a girl named Sandy Selby, Gary and Sandy. We were together 32 years, and we signed a contract with the MGM in Reno, Nevada, which was at that time the biggest hotel casino in the world, and we stayed there 19 years.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No, no, and it was 10 minutes from my home, 15 minutes.
So what was that like going from? I mean, because it's obviously you're still in the musical world, but it's very different from touring with a band that you'd been with for a while to now you have residency. That's a different thing.
At that particular time, yes, it was. Well, we weren't there 52 weeks a year, but we were there maybe 5 months a year. And then we'd do 3 months in, or 2 months in Dallas, and maybe 3 months in Vegas, and 2 months in Atlantic City or something like that. So we were constantly traveling, but our home base was Reno.
Okay. And you also made some albums during that time, right? And you produced...
I produced three. How
did that happen?
Have you been stalking me?
I haven't. Well, I got,
looking at him.
I was telling
I told
Joy.
You I did some research.
Yes, you have. Yeah.
Joy gave me her file folder. I have to give it back. I had to wear gloves. It was a whole thing.
Our first album never got released. Do you guys remember Sean Morton Downey, the talk show host, the mouth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he was our first producer.
Oh.
He was my first producer. And everybody talks about what, you know, kind of a jerk he was. He was a really nice man. But that was our first producer. Our second producer was Jerry Fuller, who wrote everything for Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, Little Green Apples, Travelin' Man for Ricky Nelson was his first record that he wrote. He was our second producer, and then I produced our second album, third album, fourth album, and fifth myself.
So you went from playing the accordion to producing,
yeah, producing albums.
Yes.
I mean, that's an experience in and of itself, right? I mean, there's
If you have a, you keep in a forward direction. You always keep looking forward, and you set things up. The first album I produced was a little less organized than the second one, yeah. I got better and better at it as we go along.
Well, and I suppose it's kind of cool at that point that you're not in your brother's band, right? I mean, it's sort of like I'm doing this, yeah. Right? I mean, it's got to be a little bit of a different.
Yeah, my brother stopped playing music right after high school and college when the band broke up. He basically stopped, but I didn't want to.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't.
I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here if I stopped. This is wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've got to take we have to stop. We got to take a quick break. So we're going to do that. But then we'll come back with Joy Navoda and Gary Raffinelli.
Thank you.
I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. We've got Gary Raffinelli of Abacadabra in this morning. And before we get on, I don't want to forget Gary. He's a fantastic guy, and he brought along with him some CDs. This is what are these, Gary? Your TV special?
Yeah, this is, we did a 1-hour TV special on the Access TV network, and it was the largest, the most watched program of that series, World's Greatest Tribute Bands, and we did an hour show. The CD is right from the special, and we added two or three. They let us play two or three songs that never went on the air. Those are all on there as well.
Oh, very cool. So we've got a few of those to give away. So if you want to get in on that, shoot me a text this morning. Shoot to our text line. It's 855-406-4064. That's 855-406-4064. Send me, let's say the word ABBA, because it, as I've said, it's very, very tough to spell.
I'm texting ABBA. Yeah, I'm texting you right now.
Yeah. Okay. shoot me ABBA to that, to the text line, 855-406-4064. We'll put your name in the hat, and you just might win a CD this morning. So that's very cool. So, Gary, I want to jump into the story of Abacadabra, but I want to let folks know that you are just that multi-talented, because I also discovered you started a piano company.
Yeah. You have really done your research. Yeah, I invented a piano about 28 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, not many people can say they invented a piano, but Gary Raffinelli did. This is some sort of piano that it's supposed to be. Basically, it's for bands, right? It's very lightweight, easy to move, doesn't go out of tune.
That was the idea. I needed a piano that I could take from job to job, and I'm working lounges, you know, pulling a trailer. So if they didn't supply me with a grand piano, which most places did, I wanted to have one, but it had to be light, and I didn't want to worry about tuning. So that's what I invented, and everybody laughed at me, but now my clients are Taylor Swift.
Yeah, you got Tom Petty, Journey. Carrie Underwood, Madonna. I've looked at your list here. Yes. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, REO Speedwagon, yeah.
Maroon 5, I can't remember. There's a whole bunch on there. But
I just did two for Hall & Oates, the Hall & Oates tour.
Basically everybody buys your piano now.
Yeah, now. Yeah.
And what's interesting to me is that could have been the exclamation point, right? Like, I've done the music, Now I've invented this piano. Everybody loves it. I'm going to hang out in Reno and just, that could be a career, right?
Yes, yes. But not somebody who's as self-destructive as I am. And
So instead of calling that a career and saying, you know what, I found it. I put the cherry on the top of this thing. I made a piano. You decide to create a tribute band.
Well, no.
I know the story's not as simple as that.
Here's what happened. Do you guys know what dueling pianos is?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it.
Okay. I had a dueling pianos club in Reno in one of the casinos. Easy, because I build the pianos.
There you go.
They never break. They never go out of tune. And on opening night, all the casinos came for a marketing thing. They all came to the show. Harrah's saw it and went, who did this? Who set up the lounge, the name, the outfits? And the owners of the casino said that was Gary Raffinelli. And of course, I've been working Reno for 30 years. Everybody knows me. I went, oh, Gary. So Harrah's called me and said, can you produce a show for us, something special? And I said, give me a couple weeks. And a couple weeks later, I came back and I gave him my first idea, and he went, this is great. We've never had anything. And I said, I know, I've lived here 30 years. And I said, well, call. We have a meeting a week from today, Friday. A week from today on Friday, we'll bring it up. And I said, you got my number, call me. And he went, wait, you got anything else? And I said, yes, I do. And I gave him my second idea, which, by the way, I don't remember. But I gave him my second idea, and he said, I like this better than the first. And I said, so do I. And he said, forget Friday. I'm going to have the meeting on Monday. And I said, well, call me. And I got up out of the chair, and he said, wait, you got anything else? And I went, yes, I do. And I grabbed my third idea. And it was actually an Elton John tribute that was like spot on. I remembered that one. And he went, when is this available? And he said, I'm going to have a meeting tonight on this. I want this show. And I said, sounds good. Call me. And I got up and hit the door. And he said, wait, you got anything else? Well, I didn't. But I didn't want him to know that. And on the way to the meeting, I was listening to every year I have to get my car registered. There's an ABBA CD in my car. And I popped the CD. I love ABBA. And I'm singing ABBA on the way to the meeting. Well, I didn't want him to think I didn't have something else going on. So when he said, you got anything else? I went, well, nothing I'm allowed to talk about. And from that moment on, I bluffed that this show was already in the process.
In production.
But it's going to be like 8 months out. And I said, Skip, his name was Skip, the entertainment director. I said, it can't leave this room. We can't talk about this anywhere else. And I said, nobody knows about this. And
not just even then, me.
Very good. And just then a secretary opens the door and says, did I just hear we might get an ABBA show? And I grabbed her and pulled her in the room, and I closed the door. I said, look, you guys, I told you this in confidence and whatever, and we can't talk about this. And I went back to discussing what about the – I did see ABBA live in 1979. That was the only true thing that I said. And I said, it's going to be just like that with the outfits and the marimba and the – and his – emergency phone went off. He had a bat phone, a red phone that was connected right to the main stage at Harrah's. And if that went off, there's a problem. And the little light lit up, and he said, hold it. I gotta take this. We got a problem on the stage. And he picked up the phone. He put it on speaker. He put it on speaker and said, this is Skip. What's the problem? And the production manager said, no problem. We just heard we might be getting an ABBA show. And all the hair stood up on my arms and the back of my neck. And I went, this is too good. And I started it that day. That's how I ended up with an ABBA show. And it took me a year.
I want to let you go here in about 6 minutes, but I'm going to ask you before you leave what more you got, because I'm going to see if we can do something off of that. You decided to make this a little bit more than just, you know, playing ABBA songs, though. This went down to, you wanted this to be a match.
I wanted, I look like Benny. a lot like Benny, and my people look like the parts. And we dissected vocals and played things. Just listen to the left side. Just listen to the right side. Play it out of phase. You probably know what playing music out of phase, and you hear all this different background stuff. And we all that is in the show. Everything.
And so that's probably why it took so long, right? I mean, just that dissection.
Yes. And me with computers, you have all these screens and computers, so you guys are all like whizzes, computer whizzes.
Well, Kurt is.
Yeah, me. I know nothing. And I had to learn how to work programs and do all this stuff so we everybody could get their parts and know what they're supposed to do.
Well, then you had to find the right people, right? I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, now we've got all this transcribed, we've got the music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's not easy.
Right.
To get people that that work together well and travel well and, you know, personalities.
Well, and if you're doing this for an album or two also, that's one thing. But the library, I don't know if people understand how deep ABBA's library is.
Yeah, everybody says, what'd they have, like 3 hits?
And I went,
no, that like 30, like 25 to 30. And we're going to be doing 21 songs on Thursday night, so...
Wow.
That's a surprise ending. We got a surprise ending. Don't leave before the ending. And that's all I can
do. Do we have costume changes and everything?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. Even the guys.
Oh, well, there you go.
Even the guys are going to change outfits because there's an intermission.
Yeah. Abracadabra.
He brought a pair of bell bottoms for you, Troy.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
I want to see what you look like in spandex.
Nobody wants to see that, Gary. Abracadabra is coming here. They're going to be, they are here. Part of them are here. They're going to be performing on Thursday night over at the Civic Center. Once again, if you want to get a chance to maybe hear some of that music, we've got that CD available. Send me a text, 855-406-4064. It's 855-406-4064. Text the word ABBA and we'll put your name in the hopper for that. We've got about 3 minutes left with Gary Raffinelli. How many songs do you guys have in your library now?
You mean ABBA songs?
Yeah.
Well, we can do probably 25, 26, 27, but that would be over a two-hour show.
Sure. But it's pretty impressive that you've got that many set to go, right? Like, what do we do next?
Yeah, we had to in Salt Lake. We played with the symphony for 19,000 people. And we were just telling the story. They were supposed to do fireworks right at the end of the show, but the wind came up. So they kept going, play another. Play two more. Stretch. Stretch. Another 5 minutes. Do another 10 minutes. And we ran out of songs. And we actually played Mamma Mia, I think, 3 times.
So then you start doing the cover band covers?
Yeah.
This is the cover band covering.
Yeah. And then went into Proud Mary.
There you go. Then- what is it about that music? I mean, we actually just we made a little change over next door. Now we've got Rewind 94.9. It's the super hits from the 60s and the 70s.
Right.
What is it about that music that people just seem to love?
In Gary and Sandy, I did perform 3 or 4 ABBA tunes in our show. And I think it was that European flavor that the United States just didn't have. And by the way, these songs are not easy to play. I've been playing for decades and had to hire a piano teacher to come and teach me 2 of the songs because I didn't know how to play them correctly. And they're difficult songs, great melodies. The 2 girl singers and my 2 girl singers are fabulous. You know, they were great singers.
Yeah. Is Helena ready for this music?
I think so.
Are we ready for you here, Gary?
We're sold out. I think so.
We're ready.
Yeah.
More than ready.
So it sounds like people can expect not just great music, but a great show. I mean, you're not just standing up there singing. No, this is a show.
And it has personality. We play the 2 guys were married to the 2 girls that many people know, many people don't. Our pre-show will give you that history. And then they separated. When I saw them live in 79, the Bjorn actually said over the microphone, many of you don't know, but Agneta and I have divorced. So that gave me the idea to, well, let's talk about that a little bit. And we use it as there's that, like, we play the parts as if they're divorced, but now they're working together again. So there's that tension at some points in the show that make it very fun and comical.
Yeah, and everybody loves Emma. In fact, I read at one point somebody offered them, was it like $1 billion to get together again?
Absolutely correct. And that was 20 years ago.
Right.
And they turned it down.
Yeah. I mean, this was, I don't even know what that equates to at this point. But.
Yeah. I would have done it for half that.
Yeah.
I would have gotten back together.
I would pay to go see that. Gary Raffinelli in studio this morning. Gary, I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Troy. Thank you, Kirk.
It's going to be a fantastic show. Joy, thanks for continuing to bring great shows like this into Helena. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think that's been proven out, right? People have bought these tickets out already.
Right, and this is a full-out show, Troy. Yeah. I mean, this is a full-out show.
It's going to be fantastic. Guys, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Guys.
I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.